Welcome to Spoiler in Time, the full experience, where we break down an entire season of a show by watching four selected episodes. The first, the ultimate, the lowest, and the last. And we are beginning a new adventure, a new journey. I'm Tom Merritt. He's Brian Brushwood.
Oh, Tom, you said a season. It's the whole series.
Oh, that's right. Series. Entire series in four episodes. First, ultimate, lowest, last. Brian, tell them what they win.
They win the right to be smug and say, oh, I know that show because you've seen the full experience. But
I mean, specifically, we haven't told them what show we're starting.
2004 is Battlestar Galactica. By the way, we did get an email. Probably worth addressing. Somebody suggested that the full experience maybe could be first, ultimate, loser, last. Mm. But that might be, we'll consider it. We'll consider it.
Yeah, we'll take it under advisement. Is it too harsh or just harsh enough?
Battlestar Galactica's 2004 reboot, helmed by Ronald D. Moore, who had written on Star Trek The Next Generation, is astonishing. We're starting with the very first episode. There was a miniseries, a two-part miniseries that came before, which is why it's one of those curious pilots. It's titled 33, but when you start it, it says previously on Battlestar Galactica.
And I remember, and this is technically not a pilot because of this, I remember watching Battlestar Galactica, the first episode. It was promoted as the first episode of the new Battlestar Galactica, seeing the previously on and going, oh, what? Excuse me? What did I miss? And having to catch up on the miniseries.
I wondered if that was just a theatrical conceit. Like, what if we just started and acted like we had already been doing it the whole time?
I will say, and we made the decision to say, you know what? This is now the $6 million man rule. If there are movies that predate a series, whether they be made for TV or made for the theater, they are not the first episode. The first episode is the first television style episode. I will say this one does suffer a tiny bit from not seeing the prequel. Not a lot. If I had been told it was an artistic conceit, I would have been like, huh, okay, I guess there's just some mysteries in here. But specifically the Baltar interaction with the lady in red, as we know her now, we'll know her later by her designation number. But the interactions there made way more sense to me after I watched the prequel. They're just sort of weird, out of nowhere stuff. But I guess it's kind of a fun mystery. You don't know whether she's really in his head or really out on the planet. There's also the stuff with Hilo on the planet, which doesn't go anywhere, does not stand alone in this episode. It's clearly meant to be building up to something else, but has those two reveals. You see Blondie there. And of course, at the very end, you see Boomer there, which you're like, wait, but she's not there. She's flying missions. How's that possible? Oh, I think I figured it out.
Yeah. Would it be a spoiler to explain some of the things that you learn in the miniseries? Within a couple of episodes, you intuit, or they directly tell you, the Cylons can look like humans. They can be sleeper agents that look like humans and be activated later. And so it adds a level of suspicion. The whole point of the fairly rudimentary surface of Caprica mission with Hilo in the rain is basically just one way to at the end say, and Boomer is the Cylon.
Now Paulus says on the previously on, it reveals Boomer is a Cylon. Sort of. It says they could be among us and we would never know, and shows Boomer. Right. So it's clearly it doesn't say it. And they still don't say it at the end of this episode. But you very clearly are like, oh, wait, this is either a flashback or there's two Boomers. And if there's two Boomers, there's only one conclusion I could come to.
Well, and also we see two or three of the blonde haired Cylon. I guess we can go ahead and call her by what Sig called.
Yeah.
Sig. Yeah. All of that is congratulations. We've all just spoiled the worst parts of one of the best episodes of television.
Yeah.
Ever.
Let's talk about 33, the 33 of it all, which is every 33 minutes, the Cylons figure out where the fleet is. Like within seconds, they have a clock running. And when it hits 33 minutes, here come the Cylons. And they have just enough time every time to try to get the entire fleet to jump to new coordinates right as the missiles fired from the Cylons pass through the space where the last departing ship, Galactica, was moments before.
And by the way, it is over the top. The number of Cylon ships that come, it is over the top. The number of nuclear missiles that are fired, it is over the top that it is always at the very last half second that the last ship jumps away in what at the time was a new visualization of faster than light travel. You know, this kind of like thumping, vanishing, here for all of it. It's so, so good.
I think, man, we should bring in our producer, Amos, who has not only previously been sleep deprived, but also worked in the military. And I think brings a unique perspective to this episode.
Well, I came into this not having seen any of it. I didn't watch the miniseries before watching this episode. I didn't even watch the previously on because I didn't want to. I actually went and got a Mountain Dew while that was playing. So I came back and had to rewind a little bit to get to the beginning of the actual episode. I will say that not seeing the previously on part of it or the miniseries, I felt that the planetary stuff was a great lead in because the way that it was introduced was by Boomer mentioning, you know, having that argument about whatever his name was not being there.
He's gone. Yeah. Get over it.
Yeah. He's gone. He's get over it. Then the next scene is him on the planet fighting the Cylons. Okay. That was great. That led into it. Boomer showing up at the end on the planet was awesome because it kind of cemented the little tingling that I had when they were talking about stuff, because it did kind of go to her anytime they mentioned something like that. And then the doctor with the hallucinations or dreams or whatever he's having,
Gaius Baltar. Yeah.
He was initially, I thought, okay, well, he's just going, you know, cause the first thing he says is going to this little exposition about how everybody has limits. So I thought, okay, well, he's reaching his limit. This is just him hallucinating, reaching his limit with these 33-minute jumps. And then as it kind of goes on, it seems a lot more devious, and it really had me wondering what's going to happen next. And I thought that was well played, even without the previous knowledge of whatever he had going on in the miniseries.
I just felt, too, that the performance and depiction of having too few people to do a proper rotation when you had to spin up FTL every 33 minutes, therefore meaning literally everyone is sleep deprived, played so well. It just felt so real.
That battle weary, just supreme exhaustion really was telegraphed and the
those moments where they just kind of stop mid-sentence and go, what was I saying? Oh, right. You know, like, yeah, it's just perfect.
And I can tell you that you can get a lot of rest in 30 minutes if you just close your eyes and lean back. Like, it's not great, but it's enough to keep you going for another little while. Those little cat naps are amazing when you're, especially in high stress situations.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And there's candid direct talks about like, you know, people taking stims, you know, and I hear, you probably know more than me, Amos, but from what I hear in the Air Force, there's go and no go pills for particular missions. And it's like
a call too. Yeah.
Yeah. So we begin with the intense. Oh, Amos, what was it like to encounter without being prepped for it? They explain the reasons in the miniseries beforehand, but all of the 1942 Cold War aesthetics of wired headphones and all of that stuff. Did you just assume, oh, it's a crazy world. There are no corners on pages or what?
There was some mystery on that. I did wonder why the papers were shaped a little different. But right, I mean, this weekend I watched Fallout. So having the anachronistic aesthetic didn't really throw me off very much. It just felt comfortable. It felt like, okay, well, this is where we're at. This is just the setting that we're in. We've got, you know, the handheld walkie-talkies and all that kind of stuff. So it just fed in. It really lended to a feeling of despair and this is wartime. Like these aren't great technological advances we're talking about here. This is crunchy. That's, you know, it worked.
Yeah. 240 jumps to 33 minutes each.
248. Within the universe, they not that it matters, and we shouldn't justify things, but because it sounds like you're interested, they explained that the first Cylon War was because they had networked computers, and as a result, a virus was able to propagate and make all of humanity vulnerable and get slaughtered, and then they had a standoff for hundreds of years, and now a Pearl Harbor / 9/11 happened where they blew up all of the 13 colonies of Kobol. And so that's the reason that everything is self-contained and everything is old school 1940s technology, which is what makes for just rich, delicious action sequences. Like when I hear Greatest Contact, 143, Karam 224 and all that stuff, I just love it. It stands up so good for my money.
It's a beautiful mix of alternate world, science fiction, and reality. It just feels like, oh, if there were, you know, 12 lost colonies of humanity, or I guess we're the lost one in Battlestar lore, but if there are 12 other colonies of humanity out there on a parallel course, they might have evolved this way. Instead of radar, they'd call it Dratus. Instead of square pages, they'd have hexagons. Sure. But everything else is human because they're humans. And it's human exhaustion and human anger and human emotions and human paranoia. And that just, it just struck me after watching $6 Million Man last time, how tight and how well produced this is. And it's 20 years old. Like, this is not new. This is an old episode.
Well, I guess that's worth number one. It holds up graphically from the pacing and everything. I don't know if it'll hold up in terms of, this is back when, you know, you would have 20 plus seasons per episode before we got accustomed to long movies instead of forever TV shows. But it is remarkable to remember that this was out in 2004, which means it was being shot and pitched in 2002, 2003. And boy, oh boy, is it of its time. Instead of Pearl Harbor, it's all the planets got nuked by the Cylons. Instead of, and this first episode wrestles with the question that all of America was asking itself at the time, was if a passenger airliner was headed towards a building, should we just shoot it down? And they figured out a clever conceit to bring us that terrible, terrible moment. It was really great.
Yeah. The classic trolley problem.
Yeah.
I will also say that the illusions that it creates in the show are spot on. Like I gathered from the context that these are the only humans left alive, that there's, you know, less than 50,000 humans left alive, but they never said that. And that's the impression that I got. And there's a lot in this episode that I got the feeling of, but they didn't actually come out and say it, you know, such as Boomer being a Cylon spy.
Yeah. It's really good at not requiring you to be like, oh, you got to be a clever viewer and solve the puzzle and pay attention. Like, it's all there, but they don't look down on you and like, let me explain to you once again, yeah, that all of this is, as far as we know, all the humans who made it out, you know, Hilo aside, blah, blah, blah.
It didn't drown me in exposition. Exactly.
Yeah.
Later episodes, once the show got popular, they did begin with, it's just like, okay, we got a lot of newbies here. Everyone's been killed. Only 65,000 humans exist. They're a ragtag battle fleet, Battlestar Galactica. I don't know if you noticed, Amos, but this was also the first show, and I think maybe the only show that I've seen, where half of the intro sequence is reminding you of what happened in the past, but the second half is always, episode by episode, only scenes from the episode you're about to watch. As soon as it gets to the so as a result, you made it appointment viewing to be there for the beginning, because they were going to hint at what you were about to see. And I don't think I've seen that anywhere else since then.
Yeah, I forgot all about that opening preview slash you've already seen it, you know, like, and so short that it's like the next week on from Barry. Like, it doesn't tell you anything, just gives you an impression.
Well, and it also, in later episodes, they would use that to intentionally mislead you, where it's like, oh, this person, a thing explodes. But then by the time you watch the full episode, you're like, it was another thing that exploded.
Yeah. A couple of other notes I had. I'd forgotten that we knew Boomer was a Cylon from day one. I guess it was a reveal in the mini series, you know, that you didn't know.
That's right. They all walked out from the shadows.
Yeah.
And we saw her as one of them.
But as far as 33 goes, like, you find out immediately. I was like, oh, I thought we strung this out a while longer. The writing is so good. And its pinnacle moment for me is when Baltar is having the three-way conversation with the president and Imaginary Six.
Yep.
And they were, and he's a genius. So you believe he might be capable of doing this on the fly, is able to not do the thing you always have, which is like, what is he talking about? But make everything he says fit both conversations. It was just beautiful.
They literally have a line from Head Six where she says, are you always able to do this kind of multitasking?
Right.
And he answers both the president and Six by saying, yes.
Yes.
And there was one line where he kind of almost slipped up when you know, he responded to
and
Six.
And he catches it. Yeah.
And then he feeds into it and answers the president in that same motion. And yeah, I noticed that as well. It's brilliant writing.
Yeah.
There's also this is the first time, and I've probably rewatched this like five times before, but now that there's some distance between now and, you know, 2001, fairly significant that that the humans have the 12 gods of Kobol and the Cylons have a totally different one god, and there is no other god but that god. And Six is his prophet. I'm just, yeah, you know, I didn't really pick up on that.
There's a lot of undertone. There's a lot of painting. I think it's undersold, and this isn't so much on the metaphor, which is definitely there, but I think it's undersold sometimes when I hear people talk about this, that you made the machines the more religious. Right.
Yeah.
It's typical to be like, oh, there's religion versus science. And in this case, the machines are both. They are science, but extremely religious. And it's the humans who have sort of lost their faith in both. They don't really care about their 12 gods that much anymore. And they're also not really impressed with science anymore, like, because it hasn't really supported them as well as they had hoped.
But it is the machines that are the true believers.
Yeah.
There are other words that would get me into trouble to make modern parallels. What a wonderfully paced opening salvo. It's incredible. And the creepiness of the delay of the Olympic carrier and all that. I don't know.
And then piling on the threat to Baltar coming from that same place, but Baltar having nothing to do with it being destroyed and therefore saving him.
So they make it clear in this episode, Amos, that that Baltar is afraid that only one person knows that he is the Judas of the group, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
It's through his conversations with Six.
Yeah.
that he's worried about the knowledge of there being a traitor on board, and that would obviously lead to the traitor being him. So yeah. Yep.
We have a decision to make, Brian, before we watch the next episode. I don't think it's much of a decision. It's just a decision of whether we want to change things or not. Our plan in the full experience is first ultimate, lowest last. And I think we want to stick with that. But for the first time since we started doing this, the ultimate is in a later season than the lowest. So Our next episode is season 3, episode 20, the highest rated one, Crossroads Part 2. The lowest will take us back to season 2, episode 14, Black Market.
I say we stick with it and we just do our best to remind people of the order of things. Unless you have another take.
I think there's an argument to be made that if you're trying to have this be a stand-in for watching the entire series, you would watch them in order. But I think we try it. I think we try it as it's less about watching them in order and more about seeing the introduction, the high point followed by the low point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially like just consider the low point like a precursor or a prequel to the best episode.
Yeah. So there we go. And then we may change your mind after we watch this. It's a nice safe way for us to do it because we've seen the entire series multiple times, and more than multiple times in Brian's case. It's not like it's really going to throw us off, but we can sort of test it out.
Yeah, I can act as the control on how awkward it is.
Okay.
Because I haven't seen it.
Perfect.
I think we both give you our blessing should you just want to keep on watching them on your own, because we're pretty big fans.
Turns out. And I didn't go back and go, yes, this was good when I watched it. I went, this is good today, still, right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was the impression I got was, how did I not watch this? Because this is literally right up my alley. This is great.
Yeah.
So.
All right. That is 33, season 1, episode 1, Battlestar Galactica, the 2004 edition. Like I said, our next episode will be season 3, episode 20, Crossroads Part 2. We will not be watching Part 1. We will just be watching Part 2 of Battlestar Galactica, Crossroads, season 3, episode 20. You get these episodes earlier. You get to be in on the conversations about which ones we choose in After Talk. You get spoiler in time of other shows that we don't talk about elsewhere in After Talk if you're a patron at patreon.com/cordkillers. Go check it out right now and become a patron if you're not already. We will give you the full experience on spoiler in time again next time.